Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, brought to you by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. The gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. And I want to stop here for a second. We are finally in our new studio, broadcasting live on Facebook, and we're going to be broadcasting live on some other alternative, and I should say real social media networks here very soon. So you can join us now on Facebook live as well. So it's not just live on the radio anymore. We're expanding right now. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners. It's interesting. Tyrants always try, every single time, they try to make captives. They try to make prisons. And the love of Christ says, no, proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners. In other words, the love of Christ resists tyrants. Isaiah 61, 2 continues, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Fantastic gospel that we've been talking about all year. And boy, is it ever prescient for what we're going through right now in America. Now, I want to say we're going to be talking a little bit about these mandates and everything that's happening right now around this so-called vaccine. Really, it's a gene therapy. But we're going to be talking about that today with Art Thompson, one of the great living legends still in America. And I hope you join us here for that coming up at the bottom of the hour. But right now, from the front, your daily intelligence briefing from the international front. And we're seeing things that we never thought we would see before in a Western country, Australia in particular, now one of the darkest places on earth. Incredible. What is happening in Australia, quite literally people being drugged into the street, people being beaten, people rising up against government forces. And I mean, people said that this would never happen in a Western country. It is happening right now, and it is happening in Australia. We're going to talk a little bit more about that on Thursday, but right now, I want to talk about this huge bombshell that came out in regards to COVID vaccines, but first from Saudi Arabia. And if you don't follow some of this stuff, you should. USnews.com coming to us with this. Biden removes U.S. missiles from Saudi Arabia, aligning the U.S. closer to another terrorist nation in Iran. We are seeing right now the pretender do everything exactly wrong at exactly the wrong time. That cannot be coincidence. Very intentional what he is doing right now. In addition to that, we're seeing him quite literally destroy the old alliances. And if you weren't following some of the shows I've done on this before, there were certain countries that were aligning: Turkey, Iran, the former Soviet Union, Russia, and also China were kind of forming a new Cold War bloc in the Middle East. Against that Cold War bloc was Israel, the United States, Egypt, Saudi Arabia primarily. Now what Biden is doing is trying to break up that bloc for the benefit of China, for the benefit of Iran, for the benefit of Turkey. And the Turks think they're going to be the next caliphate. Recep Erdogan, very clear about this. So if you miss some of those shows, you can go back and listen to them, where we talk specifically about Turkey wanting to become this new caliphate, and Saudi Arabia saying, no, wait, we're the ones that are the caretakers of Mecca and Medina. We are the actual big boss on the block. We are the big kid on the block. You're not going to do this. And this is what's happening right now, that Biden once again is trying to irreparably destroy relationships, but also shift power away from the United States of America. So keep that in mind as we're talking about that. Talking about these things today, when we shift now to something else coming to us from Populist Press, service member sounds the alarm on Afghan refugees now in the United States of America. Now, this is interesting. This is a National Guardsman that witnessed personally a disturbing situation firsthand. Quote, it's absolutely disgusting what I'm seeing, the source said in his message, later adding that some refugees are stealing license plates and antennas from vehicles to create makeshift weapons. He added that some Taliban members have been identified in the vetting process at Camp Atterbury and shipped back to Afghanistan. However, as many as 47 unvetted refugees that were awaiting processing are now, wait for it, missing, end quote. Over 6,600 people, only 25 had actual documents. This is craziness. What is happening is the Taliban, as we talked about here a couple of weeks ago, is going to use this situation to infiltrate people into the United States to help bring jihad here to the United States of America. We need to be ready for this and not turn a blind eye to that. And that moves us next to Ann Magazine and Sam Faddis, former CIA agent. The state of armed resistance to the Taliban. There are some national resistance forces holding three key northern provinces, Panjshir, Baghlan, and Badakhshan. These are holding secure bases in mountainous regions in the northeast of Afghanistan. There's also become, and this is very interesting, most people don't know this, civic resistance to the Taliban. Demonstrations against the Taliban by men and women alike have taken place in multiple locations in some of the more populist areas like Kabul and Jalalabad. Human rights abuses by the Taliban. Well, we already know that. But here is the interesting part, too. Tajikistan, there's actually a tribe of Tajiks in Afghanistan, and they have actually taken a bold stand in opposing the Taliban administration and admitting Afghan refugees. So it's coming through this tribal region into Tajikistan, and that continued cooperation with the national resistance may actually bring peace about, where the Taliban has to actually come to the table and say, okay, enough is enough. Now, I don't want to get too much more into this, but here's the important point. China is not going to let there be a power vacuum in that country. They know there are rare earth minerals there. They are going to move in, and it's apparently very clear that they're going to be moving into Bagram Air Base and taking that over. So this was really a win for China when the pretender essentially collapsed everything and gave them, among other things, encrypted radio communications. Also coming to us from AND Magazine. Encrypted radio communications turned over to the Taliban, which means they now have frequency hopping capability, which is very, very difficult to jam, and it's very difficult to track and trace. You still think this was by accident? On the national front, coming to us from the Political Insider, Supreme Court to reconsider Roe versus Wade. The United States Supreme Court announced Monday it would hear a case in December that directly challenges the landmark 1973 abortion case Roe versus Wade. Christians and patriots throughout the American readout and beyond, we need to start praying about this right now. The High Court set December 1st as the date it would hear Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which means a decision could be reached by June 2022. The case is challenging a Mississippi law banning abortions after 15 weeks, and the case especially addresses the constitutionality of abortion bans. Here's the bottom line. We've been looking for a generation for an opportunity to challenge Roe versus Wade. This is it. This is it. Regardless, Roe versus Wade was unconstitutional, and yes, I said that. A Supreme Court opinion is just that, an opinion. Not only unconstitutional, but immoral on top of that. But now we have the opportunity to challenge this directly in the courts. Let's pray for it. And I know that especially in free areas of America, abortion needs to end. Some people have said, well, Matt, you know, if we do that, it's going to end up in a women's health crisis and da 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 da. Look, that baby, the body inside your body is not your body. And that is the direct challenge to that logical fallacy that it's a woman's body. It is not. It is a baby's body. And that baby has just as much right to live as that woman does. And a lot of these women have been made victims by this abortion industry that does other horrendous things like sell baby body parts to be experimented on in this ghoulish medical industry that we're going to talk about here in a second. It's time it ends. And as Christians, we need to see this ends. This is the slavery issue of our day. And it was Christians that helped end slavery in the 1800s. It is going to be Christians that help end the slaughter of the unborn now in the 2000s. All right, moving next to Gateway Pundit. American Airlines CEO says Biden administration should not require proof of COVID vaccination for domestic air travel. Yes, you heard that right. American Airlines CEO said the Biden administration should not require proof of COVID vaccination for domestic travel. This is the first kind of big business person that is pushing back and saying, no, we need to really take a look at this. Here's the bottom line. Why, with a survival rate of 99.5% for the vast majority of Americans, is this happening? Why? Because they're using this as an opportunity to impose control mechanisms that they couldn't otherwise have done. And this is, again, a very clear strategy of socialists and Marxists and communists to do these kind of things. They wrote about it. They spoke about it extensively. So the fact that somebody's finally pushing back at that level, that's outstanding. We need to continue to push back, which is why you should all attend the rally on September 25th down at Riverfront Park in Spokane. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit as well. But that brings us to Populist Press. Bombshell. COVID vaccination, again, gene therapy, exposed by federal whistleblower. Dr. Maria Gonzalez, an ER doctor, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said this is all bunk. And intentionally, they're not going to blame the vaccine for some of the stuff that they're seeing as adverse events. They're actually sweeping it under the rug. Project Veritas did the video. Every single person listening to this broadcast today, look it up. Watch the video by Project Veritas and watch them admit what we've been talking about on the show for a long time. They are not reporting these COVID vaccine side effects. They're shoving it under the carpet. They're not going to blame the vaccine for what's going on, particularly the spike now in cases that comes from viral shedding. And they're not talking about the severe adverse reactions that are resulting from all of that. So take a look at this video. Listen very carefully to it. It is indeed a bombshell. And the fact that they're trying to cover up adverse reporting tells you all you really need to know. All right, also coming to us on this specific issue. This HHS whistleblower on Project Veritas said this. It's coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Quote, evil at the highest level, end quote. Everything we've done so far is unscientific. I'm going to read that again. Everything that we've done so far is unscientific. In other words, they are now admitting that this entire approach to COVID is unscientific. Let's talk about that for a second. Masks, for example. I'm seeing a lot of people now resisting the mask Nazis that are out there. They're really coming against that right now. A chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. That is what a mask is like, trying to stop a virus. Anybody that has done any study into biological weapons, germ warfare, any of that kind of stuff, understands this is exactly what is happening with masks. It's not going to stop anything. Natural immunity, health, vitamins, those kind of things, that's what a lot of people are advocating as, hey, that's really what we should be doing instead of all of this fake preventative measures. A lot of nurses are coming out on this now. A lot of doctors are coming out on this now. But the fact is, this was from the beginning a setup to cause fear. And if somebody's got to be crying in a clinic because they're going to be getting a vaccination they do not want because it's their job or their family versus taking the vaccination, that is absolutely wrong. And it has been wrong in history every single time. Now, back at Nuremberg, this issue was settled. That you cannot be forced to engage in any sort of medical treatment without your consent. That's where informed consent laws come from. In fact, there's an entire body of medicine or body of law and body of medicine dealing with informed consent. And yet that's exactly what they want to try to do now, coerce, force, and now threaten millions and millions of Americans from the highest levels of government. We need to push back. We need to stand together, stand against this atrocity that is happening here in the United States. Or we could end up like, oh, I don't know, Washington State. Coming to us from Technocracy News, Washington State is hiring a strike team. Those are the words, okay, strike team, for secured isolation quarantine facility. Governor Jay Inslee established an isolation and quarantine facility in Centralia and is now seeking to hire a, quote, strike team, end quote, to provide services, security, and management to the facility. Patient check-in is said to be voluntary. Well, of course, yeah, of course they're going to say it's voluntary. Voluntary, like you can take the shot. You don't have to take the shot, but if you don't take the shot, this is all the bad stuff that's going to happen to you, kind of voluntary. But it's like the Hotel California. Once you check in, you can't leave without notifying staff, of course, which provides around-the-clock security. Security for your own good. It's for your own safety. The facility is not a hospital or healthcare center, but rather a motel. In fact, we should probably start calling it the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can't ever leave. Somebody take that and run with it. It's the Hotel California that Governor Inslee's trying to do here in Washington State. His proclamation 21-14 said that all employees engaging in work for the Department of Health are required to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 on or before October 18th. Proof of vaccination will be verified by the Office of Human Resources. Apply early. Well, I mean, I guess if you lose your job, you can go into the isolation and quarantine section. Maybe work for them. Works to decompress hospitals by supporting local and state isolation and quarantine. Yeah. Okay, here's the bottom line. This is the kind of stuff that we were warned about by guys like Alexander Solzhenitsyn that came out of the former Soviet Union, who said very specifically what they would try to do is lock people up in treatment centers for their own good. Well, this isn't even a treatment center. It's a motel that you go in, but you can't check out of without their permission. I want to read some of the duties that this includes. Prepping the facility to receive guests. I love that. And providing outreach and education. A strike team. Perhaps this could be a setup of humane gulags. I just got done reading a book called One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. Alexander Solzhenitsyn's first book actually earned him the ability to meet with the leader of the former Soviet Union. In that book, he detailed the camps and how they got put in there to be rehabilitated, but they would be in there for a decade or 25 years in some cases. And they were essentially used as slave labor. I want everybody to hear this ahead of time. Mark my words, when they start doing these new isolation facilities, and of course they don't want people to be bored in the isolation facilities, so maybe they should start working in the isolation facilities. Remember, you heard it on Patriot Radio first. All right. Next on the national front, Biden, the pretender, uses first UN address to call for global community to seize opportunities in tackling crises. The Epic Times. The pretender called for deep global engagement and a shared future. We need to work together like never before. And this next decade will determine our futures. I agree with that, actually. I agree this next decade will determine our futures, whether we live free or we live as slaves. And as Christians, our job, again, is to proclaim liberty, proclaim freedom. We need to be doing that throughout the land. And there are many of our fellow brothers and sisters here in America right now that have become prisoners of this system, have become captives of this system. The pretender says, quote, "We will choose to build a better future, we, you, and I," end quote. Build back better. A communist slogan. A communist slogan that he wants to use in a positive light. In a positive light to apparently change the minds of the world. Nobody's even taking him seriously. Nobody is taking him seriously right now. What he is doing is allowing evil to continue throughout the land. Robert Spencer has an article on Jihad Watch. Federal doctors or feds reveal secret network of doctors who perform female genital mutilation. And this was reported also in PJ Media. So the evil of Sharia law is now spreading in America, emboldened because the pretender is allowing it to spread. So it's not just the spread of socialism and communism, it's that. But a lot of people are throwing their stock behind this new Durham development where he has now put out subpoenas and he has engaged a grand jury and, oh, something may happen. I don't know. Populist Press has an article about it. Durham about to drop massive bomb. Hillary Clinton in full panic. Cash Patel, who we talked about on this show before, a horrendously persecuted man, but very, very courageous under the Trump administration. Cash Patel said he believes a well-laid-out conspiracy charge will encompass Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. The latest indictment accuses former attorney from the law firm Perkins Coie, Michael Sussman, of lying to the FBI's top lawyer. He was not representing any clients while he was acting on behalf of technology executive and the Clinton campaign. So he was representing both, apparently. Now, that seems like a pretty weak charge, but a lot of times they'll use kind of a weak charge like this to do further investigation and probe. So Kash Patel thinks that a very well laid out conspiracy charge could be in the future and dropping soon. We will indeed find out. And that brings me now to this weekend, September 25th, down at the Riverfront Park in Spokane, Washington. If you were with us last time, you know that there were over 3,000 people that marched down Monroe Street into downtown Spokane and to the Riverfront Park and also to City Hall. We're going to do something a little bit different this time, but it is going to start down at Riverfront Park. And I look forward to all of you coming down. This is the time. We all need to stand together right now. We need to stand together because if they try to fire people and no one caves, they cannot fire everybody. If people all of a sudden start getting picked off one at a time, they're going to continue forward and it's actually going to embolden them. So right now, everybody needs to hold the line against this tyranny. And I want to say to everybody, there's a quote that I have that hangs on my wall that I want to share with you today. You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. William Wilberforce. And the other quote, fear not your enemies, for they can only kill you. Fear not your friends, for they can only betray you. Fear only the indifferent who allow or who permit the killers and betrayers to walk safely on the earth. Edward Yashinsky, he was a Yiddish poet who survived the Holocaust only to die in a communist prison. Those words should echo through our lives, through our families, through our businesses, and they should echo through eternity. It's silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Dietrich Bonhoeffer of the Confessing German Church. We need to be that confessing church again, confessing Christians again, regardless of what happens to us. And as I said on a few shows ago, it is always, always something we need to be prepared to do, and that is give up our career at a moment's notice to do the right thing for our friends, for our families, for our community, and for our country. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you for praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Gab, MeWe, Getter, and there's a whole host of other ones. All you've got to find is at Matt Shea. Follow me on those. Share those things with your friends and family. And if you have to, you can always go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. We are also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. If you miss a show, you can catch up with us on the Podbean episodes, and those automatically post across a whole bunch of social media as well. Share those with your friends and family, and thank you to everybody that's been supporting us. We just surpassed 100,000 episodes downloaded. Super awesome. Thank you to everybody out there for doing that. And we're going to win this thing. We're already walking in victory. I hope everybody watching today understands that. We are already walking in victory. We've just got to walk this thing out. All right. It is my great honor today to introduce to you, once again, Art Thompson, the retired CEO of the John Birch Society, one of the living legends still here in America. He was born in Seattle, Washington in 1938. He attended the University of Washington, the Washington Military Academy, and he went into business for himself and gave that up and started into the John Birch Society and has helped transform this country. Art Thompson, great to have you back on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you.
So COVID tyranny or COVID-1984, I guess, whatever we want to call it. This is the thing everybody's talking about right now, the vaccine mandates, the do's and don'ts. What should we do? What should we not do? How do we fight this? There's a whole bunch of ideas out there, but there's some really tried, true, and tested things that we can be doing. If you could enlighten the listeners as to kind of the scope of this, what's happening around the country, and then what we can do to fight it.
Well, first of all, it's a mandate, and it's not a law. I mean, nobody has deliberated on this in any legislative body or the Congress. It's just a matter of the president getting up and saying, thou shalt. And so many states are fighting back. Many states have started to sue the federal government over it. The problem that I foresee, however, is that if they all put it into one basket, that one basket might be thrown out by some federal judge somewhere along the chain of working the problem. So I hope that they all stay more or less independent, just overwhelming the courts with these lawsuits. Some of them are also passing laws in their states so that they cannot enforce these mandates against people at their employment and that sort of thing. It's causing a lot of backlash in many quarters, particularly in hospitals and things of that nature, because hospitals are having a real tough time manning the various emergency rooms and ICUs and everything else as a result of people not being able to work because they're not taking the vaccine, which is interesting because these are medical professionals. And there are a lot of medical professionals that do not want to take this vaccine for a variety of reasons. Some of them because they have not actually seen how do I put this? They don't really know the efficacy of the vaccines, first of all. They have not been approved by the FDC and that sort of thing. And some of them for religious grounds, some of them for whatever reason, maybe they just don't want to do what the government tells them what to do. But at any rate, a lot of medical professionals out there, doctors, nurses, et cetera, are not complying, and it's causing a real emergency in many areas as a result. One of the things that we like to tell people is that if you, for whatever reason, don't agree with these mandates. And by the way, this mandate is interesting because this virus is so intelligent. It knows, apparently, according to Biden, that it only affects people in jobs that have 100 employees or more. Apparently, it doesn't affect people with 99 employees or less.
Right.
It's sort of like the stupidity of having to stand 6 feet apart in line to get checked in at the airport. But when you get on the plane, you're sitting elbow to elbow. That virus knows that it can't transfer elbow to elbow, I guess, or whatever. I mean, some of these things, are, when you think about them logically, are so stupid. But at any rate, in your employment, if you don't quit or abandon your post, if someone comes in and says, well, this is the government edict and you've got to do this and that and the other, don't quit. Force them to act, not you, because you place yourself in a position of weakness if you walk off the job or quit, that sort of thing. But secondly, put your refusal to not get the jab in writing and submit it to your employer and include the reason for your refusal and be precise. But third, keep a copy of your documentation, including the method of your transmittal and the date of your submission. And four, understand the deadlines associated with the process, from submitting your refusal to responding to a denial. And if it's religious grounds, you don't have to prove by some theologian that it is against your religion. But if it's on medical grounds, then you've got to have the medical backup for your reason. In other words, you have to go to a doctor and get some documentation for that. But if it's religious, you don't. But these things, we've just got to start fighting back against these things that are executive orders, mandates, so on and so forth. And like you just said before I came on, you got to stand up, regardless of the consequences. And while we're no lawyer, and we don't like to give out legal advice, nonetheless, there comes a time in one's life when he has to make a stand for something that is not right. And this is one of those times. And it's going to only get worse if we knuckle under. And it's so interesting. I don't know if you've noticed the stupidity that's coming out of the mouth of Biden's press secretary, but apparently the people that are coming across the border from the south don't need to be tested or get vaccinated, but the people coming from Europe do. You know, I mean, it is so ridiculous. It's a double standard all across the board, and it's obviously designed to make us comply. That's the whole purpose, and it's done out of fear. They use fear of war, fear of terror, fear of COVID, fear of economic collapse, whatever it takes to get us to comply with what they want us to do or not do. Anyway, let me pause for a
minute. Yeah, and to what end? I think that's the key question there. Why do they want us to comply? Why are they doing this right now? What is the end state of what they're trying to do?
Well, that's very interesting. If you have a copy of my book, or you can order a copy of my book, China, the Deep State's Trojan Horse in America, I document in there that for the past 11 years, Fauci, King Fauci, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Council they've actually planned out with the communist Chinese government agencies, this pandemic and what they were going to do with it. It is not an accident, in my mind. It is a completely planned event, because all the various mandates that they've imposed were already on their plans, if you will, for what they were going to do in regard to a pandemic that was going to happen. And like I said, they've been planning this for 11 years, and it's all documented. But no, hardly anybody talks about it. They, you know, they finally got to the idea, okay, it's Wuhan laboratory. It was an accident that they refused to admit. Look, the Chinese Communist Party, through the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, have three legs, a triad, that they are going to impose or use in a future war. They are the use of outer space, cyber war, and biological war. All those laboratories that you hear about in Wuhan and that sort of thing are run by the People's Liberation Army underneath their leadership. The work they do is under the orders of the Chinese Communist Army, in other words. And so what they're doing is preparing for the future warfare. And I think this is a test. On that level, there's a second level. The thing is that what has been worrying the people who want a one-world government, the globalists, call them whatever else you want, they have noticed that there's a growing pushback against a one-world government. And we've seen article after article of that concern. There are a number of things that have shown up in that regard, the pushback in Hong Kong, the Brexit, getting out of the European Union by the British, also a lot of unrest within the population, and in some cases the government in Hungary and the Czech Republic and Poland about getting out of the EU. They want to be completely independent again. And then the growing America First movement in the United States under the titular head of Donald Trump. These things have been growing, and they are afraid of them because they know that if this keeps going the way it's going, they're going to lose. Their whole master plan for a one-world government run by them is not going to succeed. Now, how are we going to bring discipline back over the American people particularly? Well, the pandemic is doing that. They have set the condition where people, through fear, are obeying orders. They've shut their businesses. They're not riding on buses without using masks. People get mad at each other if you get in their presence without a mask on and all that sort of thing, turning people against each other, dividing and conquering, so to speak. But they have now proven that they can get the American people, through fear, to stand still for all these stupid laws, not laws, edicts. Now, the next step, and they've already broadcast this, is what they call the Great Reset. In other words, they want to reset society completely, only now segueing out of the pandemic. And they put this on their websites and everything else, the World Economic Council and all those people. They have said, now that we've done that, now the next thing to do is, in the name of the earth dying or the environmental movement, it's all going to be over in 10 years if we don't take cars and houses and everything else away from people, that they will comply out of fear that the earth is dying and we'll be living in a fog bank for the rest of our lives, hacking ourselves to death over pollution. And so we will get them so fearful that they will take more and more controls to where they can't travel when they want to travel. In fact, one of the things that an interview, for instance, just the other day with Christine Lagarde, who is the president of the European Central Bank, with Klaus Schwab, who is the founder and executive director of the World Economic Forum. She says in there, for instance, we will probably not be able to even travel as randomly as we did, or as opportunistically. In other words, those are nice words for saying we're not going to be allowed to go as we please. They come right out and say it. Now, they don't quite say it that way, but they put it. In fact, let me quote it. By that, I mean we will not travel in the same way, as opportunistically and as randomly as we did. So they are trying to shut down our ability to come and go as we please. And a number of other things under their program called the Great Reset. You can look it up online. You can go to the World Economic Forum. You can look up Great Reset online, so on and so forth. They're very open about what they're trying to do.
I think this brings up the issue that I want to talk about a little bit further, and that is, Americans are rising up. There are people all over who are finally standing up. We had 3,000 people here in Spokane a few weeks ago protesting. It was fantastic. I've never seen anything quite like this, actually. People are standing up. But I've also heard, hey, look, if they think they're losing control, they will collapse the whole thing if they think that they're actually losing control if enough people are standing up. What are you hearing in that regard? Because I think some people then out of fear won't do anything because they don't want to see anything worse happen. You kind of alluded to that earlier. So how do we get over that fear?
Well, first of all, it takes faith, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I mean, if we don't have the same kind of faith that our founders had, then we're going to lose this country. You know, the people of this country started the United States based on a faith, based on Judeo-Christian ideals. And they knew that they had to stand up for what was right no matter what. And a lot of people sacrificed. You don't read much about it, even in the best of history books, the individual tear hither and yon. But a lot of people had to sacrifice their livelihoods, being incarcerated, so on and so forth, to give us the liberty that we have today, or actually better than what we have today. When we first started out, it was much better than it is now, believe me. And I've written several books on the deterioration of liberty in this country compared to what we were actually given by our forefathers. But the thing is that unless we say and understand that if we don't stand up for liberty, the alternative is going to be worse than any suffering we will endure by standing for liberty. Because once they have control, take a look at what they did in Cambodia. They marched whole cities out of the cities, vacated everyone, marched them out into what they called the killing fields, and killed them all. And you can cite every case where the communists have taken over and where they had enough control that they did that by the millions and millions and millions of people, starving them to death, killing them outright, so on and so forth. And a lot of people would have loved to have stood up and done something before it had reached that point. And that's what people have to understand. Today, more and more people are realizing this, I believe. It's not like trying to convince people of this 20, 30, 50 years ago. Saying, look, if we keep going down this road, this is what's going to happen. Now people are beginning to realize, wait a minute, this is going to happen. It's a matter of, am I going to stand up or not? But the key to it all is organizing. In other words, I can't stand up alone. They'll just cut me down alone. But if I stand up with my neighbors, if I inform my neighbors, if I let them know I'll stand with them if they stand with me, and so on and so forth, and really build that sense of community for liberty in your neighborhoods, in your towns, and in your cities, then you're going to find that they can't, the other side can't live up to it. They can't stand up to it.
I think that's the good point there, that there is an Achilles heel with these folks, that they always have to rely on the local area to not only comply, but they have to rely on the local area to enforce and be part of the enforcement mechanism. And if local county sheriffs say no, county commissioners say no, city councils, city police, they just say, no, we're not going to do that. All of a sudden, they don't really have a lot of places to go with that.
That's right. And we have to show that these people, we got to elect these people and show them that we will back them up. And that's the way to do it. It's very difficult to think in terms of grabbing a gun and doing it. We don't live in that kind of a society today where you can do what they did on the Lexington Green. We're not organized that way. And believe me, we don't have the firepower to do it that way either when it comes right down to it. So it's a matter of now we have the time and we have the ability to stand up in a legal way. And if we don't, it's going to be a problem. I could talk about other things too that may exacerbate the problem over time that are coming across the border and that sort of business. But there's a lot of people coming across the border. We don't know where they're going and what they're going to be doing when they get there. That's all I'm going to say in that regard.
Well, I actually was talking about that a little bit earlier in the show about what's happening with Afghanistan and how Taliban are actually taking advantage of this situation to send their people into the United States to help bring jihad here to our shores. I mean, it's very clear that's what their intent is. Now they're actually having eyewitnesses coming out of some of these military bases. They're saying, yeah, this is actually happening. We've caught some of them, but not all of them. Some of them went missing. And here we are right now. If you could give a little bit of a commentary, what is happening at the southern border and also with these Afghan refugees coming in?
Well, actually, this may surprise you. I'm less concerned about the Taliban than I am about the Chinese they've infiltrated into our country across the borders.
Mm.
And all these men that they've been infiltrating, not women, men, by and large, are between the ages of 20 and 30. And they've been coming across our southern border. They've been coming in the various ports operated by the Chinese on the West Coast, so on and so forth. No one seems to know where they're going once they get here, all sorts of things like that. And it concerns me a lot because it appears that these guys are all military age. And there are other things too. We know that that guns are crossing the border. Now everybody thinks I'm talking about from the north into the south. No, I'm talking about from the south into the United States. Military grade weapons, sufficient enough to arm military companies. And I've seen at least three photographs of interdictions of such weapons. Now, I'm not talking about hunting rifles. I'm talking about 50 caliber rocket launchers, rockets, grenades, sufficient arms for arming an infantry company. Three times that I know for sure. Now, the problem is no one is talking about this stuff. I mean absolutely no one. And where are those arms that they don't interdict go? If they are interdicting these arms at the same percentage that they're interdicting drugs, then we've got an awful lot of military grade weaponry hanging around somewhere for some purpose, and no one seems to know.
So what can the average American do right now really to organize, be prepared, share information? What can they do? Where can they go to get the best information as well?
Well, of course, I'm prejudiced on this regard, and I believe that it's the truth when I say it. They've just got to organize themselves, and the best way of organizing themselves is to get involved with the John Birch Society. Go to JBS, John Birch Society, JBS.org. They can find out information on a lot of these different things, and then start organizing themselves on a national concerted program to try and turn this thing around. And it all boils down to the knowledge, education level of the average guy on the street. But primarily, we've got to educate ourselves and then make it as a first step of educating what we would call opinion molders in the community. In other words, those businessmen, the people in office, so on and so forth, the people that make a difference, pastors, trying to get pastors to stand up, and live the word, so to speak, like they used to do during the American Revolution. You know, a lot of pastors were involved in the American Revolution. I don't see that percentage of pastors involved today. And so churchgoers need to, you know, kind of sit on their pastor saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, we got to stand up here. So it's educating yourself, educating your families and your friends, your fellow employees, and so on and so forth, and then organizing into local units of the John Birch Society to get things done.
How much time do you think we have? And also, if you could plug the website as well.
Well, how much time is difficult to say. I get a little sick and tired of people saying, well, wait till the next election. Well,
right.
If we're not working to get the election process cleaned up in our states by reaching out to the legislators and getting new laws passed, which is constitutional, not the federal government, not the governors, not the state attorney generals, but the legislatures cleaning up the voting processes in their states, the next election won't be any different than the last election. And so that's one of the things that we should be working on. And so I can't remember the rest of the question.
Well, the last part of the question was, where can they go? And if you could plug the website for our listeners as well.
Okay, well, go to jbs.org, jbs.org, and there they will find that the things that they can do. I would also highly recommend they get their kids out of public schools and get them in a private education, be it homeschooling or be it, church-oriented schools or what have you. This past year,
you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah. So this past year, I know that there's been an exodus from the public school system. It's been incredible. There has been just a massive move, a massive shift out of the public school system. And what's interesting to me, it's not just been with kids. It's actually been with teachers as well. In the last 30 seconds we've got, if you could make a comment on that, plug the website one more time.
Okay. Well, the percentages that you see are only those that have actually done it. It does not include those parents who, for whatever reason, economic, or they feel they don't have the ability to educate their kids, or they don't know where to go to get a good program to educate their kids, or they don't have a school in their area to educate their kids outside of the public schools. So how many people would be outside of the public schools today if all of those people that fall into those categories were able to get their kids into private education? They want to, they just don't know either how to. They don't have the facility to. They can't, the economic process, they can't, whatever. So I think it would be almost 25%, if not more, of the American students would be outside the public schools for sure if everybody had the opportunity to do that for whatever reason. Again, go to jbs.org, O-R-G, and look up the John Birch Society on the Internet. And again, we've got all sorts of information, all sorts of help. That's the place to go.
Awesome. Art Thompson, retired CEO of the John Birch Society, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. God bless you. Keep up the fight. And for everybody else out there, I'm going to be posting on Facebook here very quickly. I want to see people getting involved. I want to see people getting out there, and I want you to get out there this weekend, the 25th of September, Riverfront Park. Tens of thousands of people are going to be there. There are going to be thousands of people there. Whether you're one of them or not, that's a choice for you. We need to see a unified front standing up for one another and reclaiming our God-honoring constitutional republic. That is what it's going to take, all of us standing up right now and being a government of the people, by the people, and for the people again. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he truly make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.